on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 164, Three in the Box, your Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, September 24th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about GMs, drafts, comings, and goings. It's been a long time with me, as always, to my left.
I think I've always been to your left.
Yep. Yeah. It's Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And across from me, Mr. Jive.
Good evening, folks.
It's been a while.
It has been.
Enough with the stained references, man.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
But it has been a while.
It has.
It's been a crazy while. We're in a new location.
Yeah. Which is why we're actually not streaming this live, because we have yet to get all the camera equipment set up. Yep. So this is a throwback episode, you know, audio only. You didn't want to see us anyway, so.
No.
Not in this state right now.
Kenny's got three black eyes. I don't know how he got a third one, but he does.
Three black guys?
I've got an inverted Hitler mustache. I don't know what the hell happened there.
Wow, holy crap. So now we got three black guys and an inverted Hitler mustache. Jive, how do you feel about this being the only half black guy here?
Just saying that gave me a semi.
Well then.
Yeah, so it's been quite a summer.
Glad it has.
Have you purchased anybody new lately?
What? No, but I did have a child. So I guess if that counts as a purchase, I guess, maybe.
Maybe. Did you guys had a buyer.
A buyer?
Yes.
I'm not even getting to the jokes right now. No.
See, he can't even hang with a dad joke. He calls himself a dad.
Yeah, my brain is broken. Completely broken right now.
Broken dad.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's hockey season, so.
Finally.
I mean, tonight there's a Wild game, or Wild game just wrapped up. It's preseason, so yeah. No one really cares because it's a B squad in Dallas.
Very much the B squad.
But
Dubnyk, he's B squad.
Well, with the exception, I mean, they give a few
sprinkle some in,
you know, yep. But, we couldn't watch it because obviously you don't want to televise anything because that'd be a problem.
No, I got to see part of Saturday night's game.
I was there.
Was televised.
Baby's first game.
Hey.
They've got a little puck and everything.
Cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I think next time I go to a game, I'm going to say it's my first game.
Right.
I get a free puck every time.
Right, so they gave you the puck then because it was your daughter's first game?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, so remember that if you're bringing your kids, Section 113, giving away free pucks.
And, all right.
Yeah.
Nice.
If your first game, I mean.
Now,
does it count if it's the first game of the season for me?
See, they don't actually specify that it's first game ever. Right. It just has hashtag game.
What if it's the first game of that day that I've been to?
See, these are all very logical points. Mm-hmm. I think you've broken their system.
Maybe.
You're going to be a puck millionaire.
Well, it's a good thing none of them...
Puckillionaire.
Right.
It's a good thing none of them listen to our podcast.
Stupid mother pucker.
But we have a lot of other news that we do need to discuss because,
because we're all falling asleep right now.
Yeah.
It's been a long off season.
Yeah.
So shall we jump right into the wild summer?
Let's do it.
All right.
So we got a new GM.
GM.
I think our last episode we talked about Fletcher's departure. So we've got a new one. Paul Fenton is our guy.
Benton!
Paul, he's since 2006, he's worked for Nashville. That's back when Leopold owned the team. He was the assistant GM while also serving as the GM for the Milwaukee Admirals, the AHL team. He played in the NHL for almost a decade, basically a journeyman forward. He did score 30 goals back when, you know, scoring 30 didn't really matter.
There's a couple of seasons where he had 70 games.
Yeah, I mean, but it was a pretty unremarkable NHL career. But, you know, we're obviously, we've been in division with Nashville, so we understand and we've played them a lot. Knowing what we've seen of Nashville moves over the past decade and change here, you know, think about draft picks like Roman Josi or Seth Jones and trades like Philip Forsberg, PK Subban, and really their drafts, those are really, I think, the only two all-stars they've drafted during Paul Fenton's time there as an assistant. Do you think this was a good move or just a move that was safe for Leopold because he already knew who Paul Fenton was?
You know, obviously, it he's keeping it in the family a little bit, you know, coming from there. So it's somebody that he knows. It's going to be somebody that he's worked with and knows how he works. But, you know, with that, you know, good move or not, I guess we'll see how much of what he brings from Nashville to the Wild. As you know, if he can keep up that similar, get some trades in. Obviously, he's going to be a little bit more restricted with our salary situation than he was in Nashville when those moves were happening. And it wouldn't have all been him. You know, he's, as you said, he was still the assistant GM.
Right. But a lot of times assistants are actually the ones kind of brokering the deals.
Sure.
And the GM is just kind of, you know, he's a figurehead.
On it.
He's the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, really, when you take a look at it, it probably, you know, you call it keeping it in the family, Kenny, but I mean, if you have somebody that you have knowledge of how they work and how they're going to run things, that's, you know, probably the better option to go with than something completely off the seat of your pants. You know, just because somebody has, you know, this super great track record doesn't mean that they're necessarily the best person to work with, or, you know, that they're going to, you know, shine for the future for you. So,
right.
I think that, yeah, it's probably the safe bet. But that said, I don't have any qualms with that.
Well, and, you know, good GMs are going to stay because they're getting paid and compensated appropriately.
Right.
And I don't think, you usually don't get cases where you have like a rock star GM who is just known for pulling deals off, and then he goes to another team and still continues to do that. That just doesn't really happen. So he's going to be a risk, and maybe he ends up panning out. You know, I don't know. I know we'll get back to it. We'll get to it a little bit later on as far as, you know, what deals he made during the off season.
Well, he did ink a few.
There was a few signings. But then aside from that, there was also the NHL draft. You know, didn't have a ton of picks available. Had one first rounder, but then we had, you know, basically a whole bunch of late round picks. I'm going to do this real fast. I'm not going to spend too much time on any player. But first round pick was at 17th was Philip Johansson, a Swede from a Swede defenseman. And another Swedish defenseman.
We need those.
Yep. Next pick, though, was down in the third round, 63rd pick, Jack McBain, center. Third round, also 86th, Alexander Kovanov, a center, I believe Russian. Third round, 92nd overall, Connor Dewar, center. Fifth round, 148th pick, Simon Johansson. We got two Johanssons that are defensemen that are Swedes. And not confusing at all. They're not related, by the way. Fifth round, 155th overall, Damien Giroux, centerman.
Any relation to Claude?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of Giroux's, though. So
Apparently, there's a lot of Johansons.
A lot of Johansons, too. Sixth round, 179th, is Sean Boudreaux, or Boudreaux, I don't know how you say that, right winger. Seventh round, 210th pick, Sam Hankis from Fridley, I think.
Somewhere, sounds right.
I think he's St. Cloud State commit or something like that. Centerman. You know, we only had one first rounder, and, you know, most experts seem to think we kind of picked Philip Johansson a little too early, as we could have probably traded down and still got that pick if we really were high on him. I know, you know, reading someone like Derek Falska, his draft breakdown, he was okay with the pick, but basically said, you know, that pick was the prototypical, you know, you pick a non-physical defenseman that isn't super big, and that's kind of the Wild's MO as far as drafting defensemen.
Right.
That being said, it does seem to be an overall kind of a ho-hum draft, filled with a lot of small forwards, poor skaters. Again, that's according to Felska. I'm taking his word on it. And as well as project players that they need to develop a little bit for them to even sniff the NHL. If this turns out to be a failed draft, which we know we've experienced many times, how much of that do you think that really goes to Fenton and his picks, which depending on what his involvement was in the draft in Nashville, they didn't draft very well in his tenure there. Do you lay the blame on Fenton, because this is his first draft for the Wild, or how much does that go back to Fletcher and Fletcher not giving him a lot of early round picks to really make impact? Because that's where you're going to make a lot of impact, is those first and second rounders.
I think it goes back to, you know, number one, you know, what picks, you know, you're given there. I mean, you go from a first round, and then, you know, you don't get to pick till a lot later in the third round and beyond. But, you know, that said, you got to kind of work with what you have. But also, you know, you're looking to your, you know, your scouting crew and things like that. People who have been, you know, tracking these guys, you know, I'm guessing that they're, you know, I'm not there, so I don't know exactly, but I'm guessing that there was, you know, some transition that was going on there, where, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, communicate, you know, between your new GM, your scouts, and so it's quite possible that, yes, this was a boring one. Will we see anything flashy come out of it? Probably not. But I don't think that we lay that all on Fenton just yet. Let's, you know, let him get a little bit in here and start to work with the team and start to mold it in a new way and go that direction.
I find it kind of funny, because wasn't Fletcher originally all about having the draft picks and getting the prospects built, and then he leaves with that garbage?
Well, I think that's pretty common, though, is that you get painted into a corner, and what do you have left to deal away? If you've made a bunch of poor choices through free agency or trades, you basically have nothing left. I think
some of that has to deal with keeping Stahl and Dumba and Zucker with that whole menage a trois backdoor deal with the Vegas draft. Didn't we lose a couple of first rounds because of that?
Well, we did. I mean, we've lost draft picks over the years, whether it be through the Pominville trade. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been so many moves, or I'm blanking, Matt Molson. You know, we traded away picks time and time again.
Yep.
And, you know,
trying to make the playoff run for rentals.
Right. And obviously that never really worked out for us. So
the rentals never even really worked. Stahl, I think, is the only rental that has worked out, and he's kind of taken up residency.
Well,
now
it's not even a rental, because he was a 3-year free agent signing. So that was actually just worked out. You know, that was the one signing that Fletcher's made outside of Suter and arguably Parisi that has panned out at all.
The thing, though, that you do have to look at is going into a draft, there's so many unknowns. Really, whatever you go with, you're making a roll of the dice. You know, a guy comes down with some sort of a freak injury or something that, you know, hinders him for the rest of his career.
Back injury.
You never know what it is. Maybe they, contract some sort of illness or something. And I mean, you never know what happens. It's all a roll of the dice anyways.
Yep.
So I'm not going to fault Fletcher for, dealing away, picks to try to, bolster the team and get us through those playoffs. But, where it fails is that it never worked out. So, because usually when you're trading away picks, you should at least know what you're getting in return, right? So,
true. You should.
Yeah.
But that's then not really even the GM at that point. It's your scouts. And
right.
Unless it's a top line player where you've had your eyes on them and you can see them for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, your eyes can lie.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, we have Ryan Suter. He made his way back. He exited the playoffs last year, freak injury, breaking ankles. I hear my boys talking about breaking ankles, but they're talking about deking somebody out on the football field or something.
Are you sure?
Or wait, not it's not deking them out. Sorry, that would be a hockey term. Juking them. Yes. So, but anyway, Suter has made his way back, and he's even shown up here in the preseason, which, I know for a long time they're saying, maybe the beginning of the season, but we'll see. And I know that when he originally went down, it was, it might be career ending or, but that said,
freed up some salary space.
It would have. But that said, our Iron Man is back. So here we are. We've got Suter back. We've got Parisi appears to be healthy.
Would he be ankle at that point then? If Suter is back and Parisi would be ankle?
Yeah.
That is bad, Kenny.
It's not good if it's not good if you have to explain it.
And he's not even a dad yet.
That we know of.
That we know of.
That I know of.
So we got them, and there's no other significant injuries right now. I know we've got a couple of guys. I think Cunning's out maybe for, a couple weeks or something here. But
what happened to him?
I can't remember, but it's, there's nothing serious. He should be back. And so looking at that, we've got, it seems to be a fairly healthy Wild team that we're starting off the season with here. So if we're starting off the season healthy like this, kind of in a better position than I think we've been in the last few years, where, it seems like there's always been, some sort of ailment going on or something that has, kind of plagued the Wild. Do you expect us to get a strong start out of the gate or, I'll just let you know that I hit that sample back when Kenny said his bad joke. That's the amount of delay we've got going on here.
We have a few kinks to work out, yeah.
Yes, we do. Hey, it's preseason for us.
It's preseason for everybody.
Yes.
On the injury front, I think my biggest concern with injuries is that we don't have the talent depth. We've got depth players, but Suter's going to skate his 30 minutes a game. Parisi's going to be up there. We're going to have players that are skating a lot of minutes because our third and fourth lines may not be that great, or especially not enough to chew up some minutes on top of that as far as their talent levels go. And you know what? The more you skate, the more you're more likely you are to get injured. I mean, you obviously it's a balancing act because you want them on the ice enough to be able to have an impact. But, yeah. You know, ideally you have four lines that can all score and everyone skates, you know, 15 minutes a night. It doesn't happen that way. But, you know,
and nobody can afford that team either.
Well, not, you know, you if you're Vegas, you can for a year.
Yeah, but they seem to have picked up a couple of decent prospects in the offseason, though.
I mean, it's, you can make it happen. It's just it's not easy, especially in this cap world that we're in.
Right.
But when you've got guys that are in the higher limits of minutes, you know, depending on the role, whether it's, you know, a forward or a defenseman, you're risking it not because they're going to wear down necessarily, but because they're getting hit. They're, especially if they're good, they're going to be targeted.
You grinding know? And in the corners.
Yeah.
Fighting.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, you talk about depth. I think that, you know, actually I'm feeling pretty confident in what we're going to have in a third line out there. I mean, as long as we've got people healthy this year, I mean, I look at, you know, if we have Greenway down there with a Coyle or somebody as on our third line. While yes, I know, you know, Coyle is, you know, we've known him to be kind of streaky, but you know, maybe, some chemistry comes along with that combination. We know he's capable. We know Greenway is capable, you know, I think that there's hope in there in some of those, lower lines down there. So
actually, I don't think I see it anywhere in here. I swear I saw a question regarding Coyle in particular over the off season. And what do you guys, and sorry, this is totally off script, but mm-hmm. what do you guys think the chances are that Coyle will be with this team, you know, at the end of the season?
I actually think they're pretty good.
You do? You?
Yep. Because I don't know. I feel that basically, what I mean, if we remember how Coyle came here, first off,
right?
But we are under a new regime at this point, so
right,
it means that, you know, maybe there aren't any ties there that are, you know, binding. So, but what I do think is that he offers some size, and if he does end up deciding to, you know, use that to his advantage, I think that he has a place on this team where, you know, somebody with size that is willing to throw their body around, as long, because we've seen him do it. If he doesn't do it, though, then we end up, you know, kind of in the same boat where we're asking this question. Does he belong around here? Is he going to be around here?
I think it goes back to playoffs a couple of years ago. It might have been his first year with the Wild. One of the Chicago series where, you know, he's playing with two broken collarbones? Shoulders?
Collarbones or something.
I think both of his shoulders were messed up. Both his shoulders were messed up.
You know, showing some grit and fighting through it. And I think if we can get that Coyle all the time. I mean, obviously not injured and playing with two broken shoulders.
We can get the one.
Yeah, we just need to go break his shoulders.
Breaking his ankles.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get that type of Coyle back, though, where he is playing physical like that, you know, especially on a line with Greenway, you get nice, tough line going on. And
yeah.
I think he might stick around for at least another year. I think his contract's going to be a short contract extension, if there is one, you know, maybe a 2-year, but
yeah. And it all depends on what he's willing to take too. And, you know, if he feels that, you know, he might be able to, you know, play on a one or two line somewhere else, you know, he might just, take up on that offer, but...
And we still have him for one more year before he's a UFA.
Well, and I can understand why no moves were made on him this past year, because he was hurt a whole bunch last year. I mean, mm-hmm. for Coyle, he missed a good chunk of the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's he has a year that whether he goes or stays, it probably is really predicated on how well the Wild are doing. Mm-hmm. And really how well he's doing. But if the Wild are tanking and he's doing all right, that's a no-brainer move, you know. Because, you know, how many years do we have left of the Suter Parisi, you know?
24-25.
Well, as far as them being a value portion of our team.
18-19.
24-25, so that puts us at...
Old, older, and oldest.
200 and how many years? You said 24-25?
Oh. Oh, hockey years. Oh.
There we go. That came right in. All right.
That's what she said.
Fenton.
Fenton!
Also had a little work off season here.
I'm never going to get tired of that sample.
No.
If people are curious, Google Fenton Dog Chase. It is the best video in the world.
Best video.
Or it's a good one.
It's in the top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
Top 10, okay.
That one might be number 11.
Oh. See, this is where you play Here It Comes.
Yep.
Oh. he's hitting the tablet to play the sample, and it'll probably play in the middle of what Jai's going to say right now.
It probably will. And it's kind of funny, because it's not coming. Okay. But anyways, so we'll bring this right back here. So Fenton, he did bring in some...
for that sample again.
He brought in some signings over the offseason. JT Brown, Patarin on defense. There was a few other signings in there. He also inked some deals with Dumba and Zucker.
Don't forget the Hamburglar.
Oh, yeah, we got the Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar.
What was that getting? Hamburglar?
Blurry?
Hamburglar.
Hamburglar.
Yep. He brought back...
Yep.
I'm not paying attention to you guys anymore at this point. I'm trying to get through my section here. All right. He was able to come to terms also with Nick Seeler. So I feel that Seeler, you know, he had a good playoff with the Wild last year. And I think that, you know.
Here comes.
And there it goes. It's like sampler roulette. Like you hit it and you don't know when it's gonna come.
You never know.
Oh, that's the best.
So we are in rare preseason form here.
It's preseason for the tablet too.
It is. So we talked earlier about our new GMPF. And
GMPF.
It works.
Fenton!
All right. So, and we also did kind of talk about my question here about, you know, what are our thoughts on his first off season. But what I really want to know is that, like, so we've had the Wild here, you know, the last few seasons, and we've made it to the playoffs. I mean,
yeah,
from a lot of teams' perspectives, that's fairly successful, right?
Right.
Us being Minnesotans, loving hockey and just being Minnesotan, we're not happy with that.
Getting the playoffs is great if you're not expected to make the playoffs.
Right.
When you dump, you know, $16 million a year into two players
that don't even play in the playoffs,
that don't end up playing in the playoffs, then you start wondering, okay, what are we doing? It's tough because you if you're going to be successful, you need to have some good free agent signings,
mm-hmm.
and you have to pay a little money for those kind of guys. However, most of the really good teams, they're built off of trades, like smart trades and good drafts and drafting,
good scouting.
And good scouting. I mean, but our drafts have not been good. We had like a span there where I think we had some good pickups. I think Zucker has turned into a good pick. Dumba, I think, has been relatively solid.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had some draft picks in the last, you know, 5-10 years that have not been horrible. You know, the first 10 years of the club was not so great, but
yeah.
You know, it seems like they're starting to figure it out. But then, you know, we had this year, but we've had a regime change now. So who knows? I don't know where we're going with this.
Changing of the guard. So, and you mentioned Zucker and Dumba in there, who had both, you know, they were signed this year to, you know, multi-year, multi-million dollar contracts.
Right.
Dumba's, you know, slightly edging off Zucker if you're counting dollars. But Dumba, so it ends up that Dumba is, he's tied for 20th, for being one of the top 20 highest paid.
With Eric Johnson and Johnny Boychuk.
So top paid defenseman in the league. Do you guys feel that Dumba has earned that cred to be one of those top 20 paid defensemen?
Let's see here. You figure when we have the All-Star game, you know, what, 15 defensemen get in somewhere around there? Depending on the format of the year, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say, three per team?
So it might be 12?
12, yeah, maybe 12 defensemen.
Since they do divisional?
Yeah, I think it's 12. Is it three per team? Is
there four? So if you doubled the amount of All Stars, what do you think Dumba would make that cut?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think possibly. I personally, I like Dumba's game. I understand that sometimes he's a liability back on the defensive side. I just think that his offensive upside, counterbalances that. And I think as he moves on that, you know, if you remember back to when he first started, I know that we talked a lot about, you know, the rookie mistakes and
sure,
even into his, you know, further years, well, you know, we're like, well, he's still making the rookie mistakes.
He's not getting rookie pay anymore. So I think that needs to go away.
So there better not be any more rookie mistakes.
Or he needs to get number 55 back again.
he's getting paid well. I think, you know, I think my bigger thing is when he does fail, he fails miserably.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a whoopsie-doo.
Yeah, that is.
And he fails more than say someone like Suter, because Suter fails too. I mean, we've seen the score on his own goalie multiple times, but that's because he's always around the goalie.
Yeah,
he's not leading an offensive push, mm-hmm. and normally Dumba, it's because he's out of position and he's getting caught beat.
Out of position, right?
And that's normally what's happening with Dumba when he's caught.
That's the big difference. Well, you know, him and Suter are two totally different styles of defensive players.
Sure.
And that's where I say I think his upside, you know, offensively is worth the risk defensively. So whether or not it's worth top 20 pay, I would say, though, that the the verdict is still out on that.
That gives the Wild two defensemen in the top 20 pay range.
Suter doesn't make that much money.
There might be... How much is per year is Dumbat?
Six.
Okay. And Spurgeon's not that far behind. See, Spurgeon to me is more valuable than Dumba in my book.
Where was Spurgeon sitting at?
See, he's at 5'1". So...
Well, they just paid him his height.
That's a good one.
You get paid by the inch.
Don't worry, my rim shot.
That's what she said.
My rim shot from my rim shot from a couple minutes ago will come in here in just a second.
It's gonna be like as we talk about someone passing, it'll be like a somber moment.
Yeah.
Do you hear about the so and so who passed away?
Oh boy.
So that's. I don't know. That's kind of a wrap up of, you know, summary stuff. Of the stuff going on over the summer.
The Wild
summer stuff.
Yeah.
Summer stuff, summer not.
That's what she said.
The timing is great. I think with that, we should get into the Twitter talk.
Yeah, huh? Let's do it.
I was going to say don't hit that because we don't know when it's going to... The transition piece is going to come in.
Fenton!
Fenton's been on time the whole time, though.
So, we got the... We got a lot of questions from Mr. Derek Felska. I think he wants to know our opinions on some stuff.
He probably just wants to make sure we're alive.
There is that, too.
Which is fair because we've been pretty dead, so... Yeah.
So his first one. So Wild GM Paul Fenton.
Fenton!
Brought back his former boss and North Stars general manager Jack Freeria to work for him. Thanks. Shut up, Teresa. I know you're laughing right now. Just shut up. Don't want to hear it. Is there hope that fellow former North Stars GM Lou Nanny...
Oh, come on, now.
Blue Nanny.
Aged beef.
Gets a job for the Minnesota Wild. Would you support this move or not?
I'm going to not hope that Lou Nanny gets a job because he's around hockey, but he's an older guy. It's like, does he even need to do that? I don't think. Yeah,
probably not. And I don't think Nanny would be... interested really at this point. I think,
you know, he's been there, done that. Yeah, team moved to Dallas.
I think he's got enough other stuff going on in his life that I don't think he's spending a lot of time here in the winters. I know he's following hockey, but I don't think he's spending a lot of time here in the winter.
If he takes a job with the Wild, how is he going to find time to do the high school hockey tournament?
That's a very big concern. All right, next question, also from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. What is the Lou Bega of NHL arena music, in your opinion? The kind of music that just makes you cringe anytime you hear it and wonder what fools actually wanted to listen to it by choice.
Do we need to give backstory to Lou Bega?
Sure. So Kenny and I rode in the MS-150 this year. And as we're biking, a group of guys zipped past us.
I was playing catch up at that point because my radio decided to go MIA off my bike.
But they were listening by choice to Lou Bega and blasting it out of the little speaker that attached to their
how's
bike.
How's that song go?
I don't know. A little bit of jive in my life.
That's what she said.
So as far as the most terrible songs in an arena.
Clap song.
The clap song. Everybody clap your hands. Yeah, that one's terrible.
Yeah, but you can't just say the clap song now because there's a I can make your hands clap.
Also a terrible song.
Yes, it is.
I was going to go with the slide to the left, slide to the right. That one.
Slide?
It's the Macarena?
No, it's like where they're telling the people what to do.
Isn't that the electric slide? No.
No.
That's different.
It's just annoying is what it is.
Dude, get out of my seat.
Yeah.
That's another clapping song. Slide to the left.
Yes.
See? Yeah. There's claps all over the place. So any song with clapping in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No claps.
No claps.
You can't make our hands clap. All right. Next question coming in from Chris and Assist. We got three of the box. As I see all the people on Twitter trashing those that apparently hate the re-signing of Matt Dumba, is it really a hate of Matt Dumba, or they don't just love the guy? Do you love the... I'm sorry.
Words are hard.
Words are hard. It's late. It's preseason. So what we really need to know is, do you have to love every player on your team? Otherwise, you are hating on them?
It's a good question. I think it's a balance between...
There's no I in Matt Dumba.
This is true. There's also no me, I think. No, there's not.
Well, if you go Matthew...
There's no team in Matt Dumba, I can tell you that.
Matthew.
Maybe with Matthew. Anyway, you don't have to like every player. I mean, and just because you don't like a player, I think the one thing with this team, or at least the team last couple years, since Brodziak left or Heatley left, is, you know,
there hasn't been a scapegoat.
There hasn't been a scapegoat, and you know sometimes there's a scapegoat, and even then, even if there's no scapegoat, you know. Koivu. I'm not a huge like Koivu fan. It doesn't mean I'm a hater though.
Right.
You know? I don't know. That's my opinion.
I think it's okay to have a healthy respect for somebody and, you know, work from there, but
like you can think a guy's overpaid or, you know, whatever.
Definitely.
I think the bigger problem is when they're making like $1 million and you think they're overpaid. It's like, look, that's like
pretty much entry level contract these days.
Yeah, so it's like get over the fact that
he's making NHL minimum wage,
right?
Right.
You know,
and that's only when he's up here at that point. Because when he goes back down the aisle, he's probably making $200,000 a year,
right?
If that,
yeah,
if that, and you know, considering what they do, that. You know, it sounds like, oh, boo-hoo, they can't cover their bills, but their lifestyles are different. When you live on the road, you spend a lot of money on the road, and people, I don't think, understand that.
Tax deductible.
Agents get their cut.
Yeah, agents get their cut.
Accountants get their cut.
And you pay taxes, a higher tax bracket when you're doing that, too, so.
Are you volunteering to be my accountant, Kenny?
I was just going to be your agent.
Oh, just my agent, okay.
Kenny, Mr. Kenny, CPA.
I need some initials behind my name. All right.
Certified pubic accountant.
I just certified public ass. Okay.
All right. Next question.
So, from Circle Fifth. So NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman is going into the Hockey Hall of Fame, or I guess at this point has already been inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame as a builder.
Hockey fans are special.
Well, I realize opinions about him are kind of harsh. That's kind of an understatement, Mr. Felska. He's been pivotal in expanding the league to 31 teams, increasing revenues, etc. Does he deserve to be inducted?
Was there a preseason game on television tonight?
No.
Hockey fans are special.
That's not necessarily on him, though.
You know what? Anytime a commissioner serves for, you know, multiple decades of their respective sport, they're going to be put in the Hall of Fame. It's weird to do that when he's still active.
Hockey fans are special.
You know, it's like you look at other sports. I can't remember what's his head in baseball that was there during the strikes and stuff. You know, he's probably going to go in the Hall of Fame at some point because of how long he served. And that's just, it's what's going to happen. I don't think any fan has to like it because there's obviously polarizing opinions on Bettman as a person.
Well, and the fact how many lockouts has he had in his tenure?
Well, that and teams leaving in the middle of the night, basically over a stadium or some groping.
Hockey fans are special.
I think if they're going to induct him, his head should be used as the "we're closed" sign from all the lockouts that he's had.
I think they should make a bust of his out of butter, and so people can just like punch it, you know, kind of like the Milky
Princess K of the Milky Way.
Yeah, there we go.
What was the
State Fair style?
What was the Stretch Armstrong style doll where you could like punch its face and its face would slowly kind of come back? Like that saying, you remember, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was like this, but it was Stretch Armstrong, but it was like, you know.
But Stretch Armstrong, you just stretch him out and he would just go back to shape. But the same type of material.
Yeah, very much so. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What was this? Something to like teach you to abuse women?
Is no, that punch dudes in the face, man.
We're not running for, you know, Supreme Court or anything. Right. So.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Okay, and on that note.
That's where the rim shot should have came in, right?
Well, better that than if that's what she said.
All right, next question from Chris and Assist. Daredevil Extreme Evil Knievel once was paid $5,000 a goal in an event where he faced off against the WHA goaltender Les Binkley. He went 2 of 4. Which member of Three in the Box would do the best in a similar challenge against Devin Dubnyk? How many would go in? Do we have to skate? I guess it would be my first question. I'm guessing not. I'm doubting Evil Knievel skating.
Maybe.
I'll double check that. I'll let you guys chime in though with what you're.
How many? You know what? I think we would all do just about the same with the zero goals head.
I think that I would reign superior.
With zero goals as well.
I have some experience. I think I could muster something up.
Okay.
You think you could do it?
Yeah.
That sounds like a challenge, no.
Okay.
Well, I think the one difference, though, is that Les Binkley was like basically a scrub.
Right.
At that point that he was, being scored upon by Evil. Evil was skating, though.
Oh.
So. I'm gonna lose. I can tell you that much.
I'm out. So by proxy.
Even if you changed it to Josh Harding, I'm still probably getting zero goals, and going to hell at the same point.
Don't worry, I'm driving that bus.
What if we changed it to Tanya Harding?
Oh, you just chew for the knee.
That's what she said.
I was going to go Bill Masterson. I'm going to score every goal then. Because he's dead.
All right. This is going south here. So, another one coming in from Crease and Sis. We're catching up from all summer here. Here we go. Three in the Box. In a recent interview with Russo Hockey, the head coach, Bruce Boudreau, admitted that he was arrested for streaking when he was playing Major Junior in the 1970s. Does that change your opinion at all about the head coach? Should the Fad maybe make a comeback? Do we expect to see Boudreau leading the Wild, streaking down the streets of St. Paul?
I just imagine him looking like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Rolling.
Collecting like coins along the way. Oh, that's not coins, it's rings. Oh, man.
Sega. I don't think that fad should have ever gone away. I mean, I've already done it twice this year.
Uh-oh. So when you hear us giggle, you know that there was a sample pushed.
We don't know what it is. Jive knows what it is.
Yeah. And you all wait patiently to hear that. And at some point, you will hear it.
She said the
Let's talk more about Bill Masterson and Josh Harding.
Oh. Wait for him to pop up.
That's Lorena Bobbitt.
It doesn't change, though, you know, my thoughts of him.
Oh, that's what
yeah?
she said.
Yeah.
There we go. So now it came back. But, yeah, I don't think that changes anything. Number one, it was the 70s, man. That was, you know, that was time of peace and love and freedom, man.
That was the 60s.
Yeah.
What about
late 60s, early 70s.
You know, whatever happened to Morgana, the kissing bandit?
The kissing bandit?
You remember that? She'd, like, run on the field and kiss people?
No.
I mean, she's a well-endowed woman, and oh. She'd run on the field, and it's like her shtick, I mean, you know.
Kind of like Gert the Flirt. Have you been to a Saints game?
Not lately, but I do remember Gert the Flirt.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still have the nun that gives you a massage?
They still do. Last time I was at a game, yes. So that said, should that fad make a comeback? According to Kenny, yes.
Yep.
Next question.
From Crease and Assist. Jacksonville cornerback Jalen Ramsey.
Hand egg.
Said he could make the NHL with just 6 months of training and admits that he doesn't know how to skate currently. Do you think he could if he really tried, even if it wasn't in 6 months?
I think he could learn to skate.
Not at the NHL level in 6 months.
But yes, I do not think that he would be NHL caliber in 6 months.
Definitely not. I don't know this guy. I don't follow the hand egg. So I'll say I'm going assuming he's of peak physical talent. It's going to take a little while to learn to skate.
So
there is that. However, if you're physically gifted, you can probably translate some of those skills, especially football to hockey. Is he going to be a scorer? Probably not.
Well, this is
because there's advanced skills then you need. Can he go? Is he going to learn to skate around and just smash into people? Probably.
This is some of the backstory. I don't know if either of you had read any of this. Apparently, he managed to make a top lacrosse team in 6 months, so he feels that he has his stick skills done and
okay.
He can make lacrosse. However,
okay, that changes my so yeah, maybe at that point, you know,
but
there are similarities.
Lacrosse, though, you're also making similar moves as you would playing football, whereas skating is way different when it comes to movement and footwork than it is in lacrosse or football.
Yeah, the skating is different, but you know, as far as stick handling and that sort of thing, there's definitely some you know.
I know a lot
analogs there.
A lot of the guys that I would have graduated with, well, same age as me, because we didn't have either lacrosse or hockey where I went to high school, but other friends of mine where they had both, you know, they were playing essentially hockey in the winter and lacrosse in the fall or spring. I don't remember which one it was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wasn't a thing when I was in high school. My opinion on the guy, though, is that, you know, even if he did make it to the NHL with that kind of an attitude, he'd be knocked the F out
yep,
pretty good damn quick.
He'll be made an example of in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So, Teresa wants to know, Teresa Ferris at MNSoda24 wants to know how to pronounce Rupe Hintz. There you go, Teresa. That's how you pronounce it. Rupe Hintz.
Who? Top prospect in the Dallas Stars organization.
He scored against the Wild.
I saw him play when I was in Finland, actually, and he was a player that I picked out as being impressive. So it's great if he's actually making the jump to the NHL. It's going to be another tool in Dallas because Dallas didn't have a great year. He's a talented player. So
how do you say that again, Kenny?
Rupe Hintz.
Rupe.
Rupe. Not Ruby. Not Rope.
RuPaul.
Not RuPaul.
It looks like Rupe Hintz to me.
It does look like Rupe Hintz.
Rope him in.
According to the
Rupe Hintz.
According to the Athletic, it's Rupe. It's Rupe Hintz.
Hintz.
It's H.
Is he German?
I believe he is actually.
Hintz.
Maybe Hintz. Not. I don't know. Rupe Hintz.
Rupe.
No, he's Finnish.
Rupe Hintz.
He's a Finn.
It isn't Rupi. It's not Rope, and it's not Ruby. It's
but Hintz is not Rope. Hintz is or Heinz is Hintz. Not a that is not a Finnish last name. So,
so if you go into the bathroom and you're Russian,
and no, while you're European,
and while you're in there, European,
then you're European.
Then you're done. You're Finnish.
What are you done when you?
I stole it. I joke blocked you.
Damn.
Is that a thing now, joke block?
I don't know.
It is now. I'm going to be busting up people's jokes all the time. No. I'm just going to tell you your punchline before you even start saying it.
What knock, it? Knock.
I'm there.
Oh.
What did the termite say when he walked into the bar?
Yum.
Humanga's big.
Is this bartender?
God. I don't want to finish that one for
that's
you.
Gross, dude. Ugh. You should not feel proud of that one at all.
I was waiting for Jive to joke block me.
I'm not taking responsibility for that. All right. I think it about rounds out our list, huh?
Something like that.
Do we have any more samples that we're waiting on the...
Benton! Nope, we're good. We're
that,
good.
That one's been reliable all right.
Cleared out.
Queued up.
So there you have it. I think this is the preseason. You know, we have almost an hour worth of us talking and samples failing. And you didn't get to see any of this because, well, you know what? We're bringing it old school. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
You know, you can find my stuff at Nostrakenius. Maybe catch me, you know, on TV during a hand egg game.
Nostrakenius on Twitter and the
Instagrams.
Jive, what about you?
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Angry Finn. I've also got some music in the works here. Eventually, I'll put out an EP or something of some electronic-y kind of nerd stuff.
Unsa.
Not quite the unsa, but, you know, it might
the
be on.
Unsa.
The onsa onsa?
No, the Rupe Hintz.
Rupe.
Rupe Hintz.
Not Rupe.
Rupe.
Rupe Hintz. Rupe Hintz.
Rupa. 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 It might be a, it might be something like that. Yeah, yeah. That's a new song. Do not steal that from me.
Yeah.
I have trademarked.
Trademarked here.
Yeah. I've copywritten it. Sorry. Will I Am, you cannot steal that. Mazel Tov. That's another song that should be banned, is that damn song.
Mazel Tov?
The I Got a Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How about anything from Black Eyed Peas?
Anything.
Be a good night.
Ugh, gross.
Anything from Black Eyed Peas or Wagon Wheel. Wagon Wheel, I don't know if they play Wagon Wheel much at games.
Anything Black Eyed Peas is basically, yeah.
What is Wagon Wheel?
Wagon Wheel was, for whatever reason, everybody who is in a cover band with like a fiddle and an acoustic guitar plays Wagon Wheel. And the song just sucks.
Everybody with a fiddle in a guitar.
Acoustic guitar.
Plays Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Yes, but if it's done properly, it's okay. Oh, if you guys, if we
that
had
is a
video.
Sample, that is a sample right there. If I have time, that might be a new intro. I don't know. Don't know.
With the unsa.
All right, I think that's a show.
Yeah, I think we better get out of here.
Yeah.